Welcome to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. Voters in Rapid City have another major decision to make about the future, this time about the future of education in public schools. On February 25th, voters will have the chance to weigh in about what to do about crowded classrooms, aging facilities, and modern safety and security concerns. It's a $190 million bond proposal that plans for three new elementary schools and large-scale facility improvements throughout the district. If voters approve the measure, and they need 60% of voters to say yes on February 25th, property owners will see a tax increase of 85 cents for every $1,000 of valuation. That means if you have a home worth $100,000, your taxes will increase by about $7 per month. A $250,000 home will see an increase of about $17 per month. Now, the debate over the school bond has been intense. Today, we're going to welcome voices from both sides of the issue. We'll get into the details of the bond measure itself in a moment. But first, let's talk about how a community envisions its future, balancing growth and innovation with fiscal responsibility and accountability. Tom Johnson is CEO and president of Elevate Rapid City, and he is joining us on the phone now from Pierre. Tom, welcome. Thanks for being here.
Hi, Lori. Good morning. I'm happy to be here. This is great. Thank you.
We are going to bring some folks in here in a moment who are going to say, yes, this is a very important yes vote, and then some people who are going to say, no, this is a very important no vote. But I want to start with you because tell us, especially for people who are listening across the state, why is this so contentious of an issue in Rapid City right now? Because that really gets at where Rapid City is at in this particular time in history, doesn't it?
Yeah, Lori, it really does. I came here about 4 months ago. I'm originally from the Front Range. And so when I got here, it was interesting to see the different sides and where they staked out. I think really why it's so contentious is you have, a group of folks. And in South Dakota, we like to think of ourselves as very conservative. So anything resembling any kind of a tax hike, whether it's 1 cent or $10, just philosophically, we generally as people here are kind of opposed to taxes increasing in any way, shape, or form. At the same time, we're in a place in Rapid City and South Dakota's history where we're going to see growth, and we want companies to come and young professionals, and we want to see the kind of prosperity that we see, in some of our neighboring states with technology jobs. And so in order to bring some of those, we have to focus on what attracts workforce, and what attracts workforce often for young professionals is the quality of the schools. And so you see these tensions sort of play out in real time because of those two competing sort of viewpoints.
Yeah, you have written in the Rapid City Journal that people should vote yes for this. So this is something that you believe is important to go forward. How come?
I did. And for me, it's just out of the fact that my job is to try to help the Rapid City economy prosper, elevate Rapid City's mission, in fact, is to elevate the Rapid City region for everyone. That includes a Native American workforce and everybody. And so when you look at that and when you talk to companies, and I've talked in my short time here to probably four or five companies that are actively looking at Rapid City from outside of the region, and we're talking large companies, often the first thing they say to me is, can we get the workforce here? And when I make the case for that workforce that, yes, we can, they quickly pivot to, okay, what are the quality of the schools? Not just in terms of the scores, but am I going to have the kind of facilities that my kids are going to want to be here? And so when you hear from actual companies that the quality of the facilities of the schools matter so much, you begin to realize that passing this bond is paramount and critical to our future. And so if we want to be the kind of community and state that we are hoping to be, which attracts workers, we have to focus on this issue.
What's the competition? What is it like in other communities? I mean, we're broadcasting from, I'm sitting in Sioux Falls in the SDPB Sioux Falls district. I have a little context for what schools are like here in Sioux Falls, but your experience is broader. Tell me a little bit about how companies make that decision and who the competition is. What kind of choices are they making?
Lori, the competition, I'm not going to lie, is fierce. I mean, there is, everybody around us is focusing on the quality of their education and including facilities. So obviously you're in Sioux Falls, so you know that Sioux Falls passed a bond improving the quality of their schools. But if you look north in, you know, Bismarck, if you look west towards Gillette, if you look southwest towards Denver in the Front Range, and even in Nebraska, if you look at Lincoln and Omaha, Minneapolis, you just see all around us, everyone is focusing on education and how important it is. And many, many of them have passed bonds like this to improve the facilities and the condition of their schools. And so the competition is fierce. I don't want to see Rapid City left behind. And further, it really does scare me a bit that we can't recruit the kinds of doctors and physicians and professionals to the community. And so I often hear from seniors on this topic that they don't want to see their property taxes go up by, you know, $50 or $100 a year. And I say, well, I think the trade-offs can be challenging. If we can't get the kind of doctors that you need, the specialists that we need in Rapid City, we're going to have a hard time attracting talent. And I think seniors are going to actually have to drive to some of these more prosperous communities and get health care if we don't have these specialists. And we can't get these specialists unless they like the quality of life in Rapid City. And the only way they're going to like the quality of life in Rapid City is to match our world-class outdoor recreation, our world-class higher educational facilities, with, frankly, world-class K-12 facilities. So it's just absolutely critical we do this.
Talk a little bit about the real estate market, if you will. There are many people who maybe don't, and one of the challenges with the school bond vote is always there are so many people who don't have children who maybe stay home that day. And they think about what happens to their taxes. What happens to your property value when there's, even if you don't have children?
Well, what I like to think of is the future a little bit. And you can imagine a scenario, and Rapid City is growing. And so what's happening is if we can pass this school bond, we will be able to attract more people here. We will be able to attract more companies here. And so what will happen is there will be a larger base of people and companies from which we can draw that tax base. So ultimately, at the end of the day, your taxes won't increase as much because you have a broader base from which to draw those taxes from. And so it's actually quite the opposite. The more prosperity we have as a result of passing this school bond, the larger our tax base is going to be from which we can draw. And therefore, in the future, the taxes won't need to go up. We won't have to raise property taxes in the future because of that. So I see just the opposite. Prosperity allows us a larger, broader, more diverse base of people and properties to draw from. But I certainly respect and understand those folks who aren't fixed incomes and why they might be worried that their taxes could go up. I think, to the contrary, it'll allow us to broaden our base. And I think those fears are probably unfounded, but I certainly respect and understand that perspective.
One of the reasons we asked you is not only the role that you have in Rapid City now with Elevate Rapid City, but the fact that you are new to the community. And so you are kind of looking at some of the debate with fresh eyes as well. Tell me a little bit about what you've learned about this city through letters to the editor and the questions people are asking you and how they've sort of responded to this really big challenge, really on the heels of another really big challenge, which was the Burnett Arena.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. I have come from other places and seen what they've done. I'd say the level of intensity in Western South Dakota around how we decide collectively how to fund education and what kind of community we want to be is definitely more intense. I was not quite prepared for the level of intensity of how people express themselves on this issue. I think there's generally a little bit more civil discourse than other places I've been, but that's okay. You know, our goal is to try to elevate the whole region, and we understand the opposition's perspective. And, you know, we just, I think, have to continue to make the argument about how this can affect our future. We know that Rapid City is a world-class community with one of the best institutions in the country, South Dakota School of Mines and Technology. In fact, we have an educational hub with Black Hills State, Oglala Lakota College, Western Dakota Tech. We've got world-class mountain biking, an amazing downtown that we put money in. The hospital's invested $250 million into itself. The arena is $130 million. The base is coming. that's likely a billion or more dollar investment and potentially 1,000 or more jobs. But we see all these investments Rapid City is making in itself. What we can't do is go backwards on K through 12. So while we're trying to be world-class and we're attracting workers from the Front Range and Minneapolis and other areas, what we can't do is go backwards and ensure that our facilities of our K through 12 system are third class. We have to have first class facilities just like we do in other areas.
And for folks who are coming off of the Barnett Arena conversation and are feeling, you know, overwhelmed by the pace of this change, speak to them a little bit, because it can feel like a lot of this is coming rather quickly.
Yeah, it is a little bit. If you've been here, and of course I'm new to this, so I wasn't here for the arena, so it doesn't seem fast to me, of course. But if you've been here, I can imagine that's fast. What I would say is, change is coming in Western South Dakota. It's coming in Sioux Falls. It's coming in a lot of areas of the state. As citizens in the area and the community, we can either decide how we want that change to look and how we want to affect that change and keep the quality of life that we enjoy here in the Black Hills and what we have. We can shape that future. Or we can do things like not pass this bond and let the future be shaped by somewhere else, by forces outside, and just watch as that change happens to us. So really it's a matter of being proactive or reactive. And I prefer, frankly, for us to be proactive.
Tom Johnson is CEO and president of Elevate Rapid City. We're going to have more of this conversation about the Rapid City Area School District bond referendum. That vote, again, is on February 25th. Folks are voting absentee already now. Tom, thank you so much for being here. We look forward to talking to you again.
Thank you, Lori. Have a great weekend, and I appreciate you being here.